currently there's over 50% of the funds that have been made available obligated, as you said. Now, that means that those funds are going to contracts. They actually will generate jobs and will actually spend out over the next 18 months or so. And I think with the recording requirements so far, we've done quite well to be able to meet all those requirements. And there are really three levels of them. One, first, the Federal Highway Administration, in this case, has a set of rules that we've worked with them closely on. I think we have a good handle on. The Transportation Infrastructure Committee of the House has held two hearings so far, and I think we've gotten good marks for being on top of this program. And then the Office of Management Budget, the White House, just issued a new set of requirements, which, frankly, we've got a little work to do on, but I think we'll have no trouble actually complying. So.
Is there any evidence that some states or some localities, say large counties, for example, are saying, well, maybe we'll skip this one because of the reporting requirements?
No, we haven't seen any of that, certainly, at this point. And I'm going to attribute that to the amount of preparation at all levels of government that went into this. The stimulus bill obviously developed right after the president took office, and there was a fairly extensive lead time, so people, I think, are pretty well prepared and pretty well understand what they have to do. So.
And is it your sense that the federal government would, not to say, I don't want to say be lenient, but understand the fact that there might be varying interpretations to these rules as they come out as rules and as they develop into actually, you know, with some more structure, that states that might have not spent it precisely to the way of the letter of the rules as they came out later on won't get in trouble?
I think from the executive branch end of things, that likely will be the case. But I will tell you this, there are many reviewing agencies looking over this work. For example, the U.S. Government Accountability Office has 16 states it's targeted and are doing very specific reviews on for compliance. The inspectors general and the departments that are involved received substantial extra funding to focus on these activities. And so I think we'll definitely get a strong level of scrutiny, but I think we'll stand up very well to it.
And does it look as if, from your point of view, that the agencies that receive the money, do they have some say in the rulemaking? Is there some cooperative process between the feds and the people receiving the money to arrive at rules that are reasonable for both sides?
Yes. In fact, I would be very complimentary, actually, of the feds on this. There was a lot of exchange and back and forth and development of the rules, guidelines, and also expediting the activity. These things normally move kind of at a standard flow, and this has been anything but that. This has been very highly expedited activity, and it needed to be because its purpose was job creation. So.
We're talking with Jack Basso. He's the Director of Program Finance and Management for the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. And I wanted to ask you about the contractors themselves. These vary from major contractors that, you know, such as a type of company that builds the inter-county connector up in Montgomery County here, and all the way down to small mom-and-pop operations that might build a mile of road or an access ramp or, well, you know better than I do. Is there a variation in the ability of those companies to be able to meet the requirements that are on them as contractors?
So far, all the information we've gotten is that, while you're absolutely right, there's a variation as to size and activity. Most contractors are used to complying with kinds of requirements, for example, on reporting employment activity. This is not something new they have to do. So from my end of things, I haven't seen any evidence of that presenting any real problems or excluding contractors from work on this activity.
Because that's interesting, because I've read many accounts where where reporters have said and analysts have said, well, this is something totally new to the contracting community. You're saying it's not. They've been getting federal funds for decades, really. Ultimately, most roads are federal money, so it's really something that's not entirely new to them.
No, and far from new. I'd say that 45% of the capital expenditures across the country come from federal money, and the program's been in place since 1916. So for the most part, some of the the more detailed requirements may be new, but I think the contractors doing business with the states, which is who they do business with on this type of work, are quite familiar with dealing with federal requirements. So I haven't seen any evidence that that's presenting any real problems at this point.
You were the CFO of transportation, if I'm correct, under the Clinton administration, correct?
That's correct.
And so you have a good idea of what these types of activities impose on the financial community. How do you think the finance people within the federal agencies, and particularly transportation, there's a lot of requirements on them as well. How are they handling it?
Well, I'll tell you, so far so good. They are set up pretty well to track these things. I used to do this. In fact, I was with the Federal Highway Administration myself for about 30 years, so, and used to be part of my world. And they had the systems pretty well in place and, again, had a little lead time to get things tuned up and ready to roll. So they're handling it well, and I think that's reflected in the reporting, which has been getting pretty good reviews from all quarters.
Now, you and I used to chat when we were both riders on the MARC train coming into Washington, D.C. from the Maryland suburbs.
Yes.
Are you still a MARC rider?
Absolutely.
And from a personal standpoint, do you wish there was a few more billion here and there for places like VRE and MARC?
Yeah, we, particularly AASHTO, had pushed for and the upcoming authorization bill, which is underway, work underway now, for an additional $30 billion for inner-city passenger rail, which would include things like MARC and other improvements. So we've been very much advocates for additional investment, and personally I'd like a couple more cars at my train if I could get them.